Welcome, everyone, to episode 10 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is July 6th, 2025. And I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we wanted to have a nice little chat about one of my favorite cities in Japan and a city Kirk has recently fallen in love with too. Sapporo.
Sapporo!
Woo! Sapporo has a very special place in my heart, as it was the very first place I ever visited and lived in while in Japan. So, it's forever tied to those memorable and peak memories back, you know, long, long time ago, it feels like, but they feel like they were just like yesterday. And I was so happy to hear that Kirk had a chance to visit Sapporo recently for a few days. So Sapporo. I'm looking forward to hearing about his first impressions.
Yes. Hello, Aaron and listeners. Can you believe it's episode 10 of the Bon Bon Show?
This that is many an important. Episodes.
Yes, this is an important milestone for the show. But yes, I visited Hokkaido, specifically Sapporo, 2 weeks ago. And as much as I always want to troll Aaron, I try not to like the things that he likes.
Yep.
I really liked my short time in Sapporo, and I want to go back because I fell in love with Sapporo, at least in the summer. I'm not sure if I'd want to go during the heights of winter, maybe fall. But I really enjoyed my few days in Sapporo. So yeah, let's just have a casual chat about Sapporo. In Hokkaido, Aaron lived there during his time on JET, and I had a memorable 3 days there. So yeah, episode 10 of the Bon Bon Show starts now.
Let's go. Ooh, 3 days in Sapporo. You're just as much of a professional of Sapporo as I am, I think.
Whatever. You spent what, a year, 2 years? How long were you in Sapporo?
Yeah, I think when I first moved there, it was after I graduated. I went to Sapporo only because a friend that I made in university had some connections there and really enjoyed his time in Sapporo. So his impressions of the city were left on me greatly. And so not knowing where else to go in Japan, I was a noob and had no idea of like what or where I should be going in the country. I just leaned on him. And so he said, come to Sapporo. I'll show you around. I'll introduce you to people I know and get you involved. And so, yeah, I was there for 6 months, volunteering for tons of different places.
Wow. And
yeah, immediately fell in love. Well, actually, I shouldn't say immediately, because the first night I was in tears on my bed, crying, wondering what I had done, where I had moved to a new world where I didn't know how to speak or do anything in the country on my own. But
I feel like so many people have that night or nights when they've moved to Japan. I certainly did. You were in Sapporo, but I was on a tiny island with 2,000 people and may have cried a few times too. But anyway, continue. Your time in your 6 months in Sapporo. First six
yes,
months.
Let's embrace our crying nights in bed together. So not immediately did I fall in love, but it was shortly thereafter when I had time to gather my thoughts and my feelings and just take it day by day. That's where it all came together. And by the end of my initial 6 months there, I left in the height of winter. I left just in the beginning of February. So I got a good impression of what winter was like, what fall was like, and then in the summertime, of course, and then left back to Canada. And then when I got placed on the JET program, being from Alberta in Canada, Alberta and Hokkaido are sister, I guess, provinces, prefectures, I guess you could say. And so if you're from Alberta and I put on my placement request, Hokkaido, they were immediately just going to send me to Hokkaido because of that relationship, I think. And so I got placed in a small town like most JET participants do. And
Yes.
luckily for me, it was about 40 or so minutes outside of Sapporo. So not too far, but far enough where you had that, that small town feel, but could easily get to the big city if you wanted to. And so, yeah, I spent another year in Hokkaido, teaching in small town. And yeah, I've been back to Hokkaido many times since to visit all the friends that I have made. And I have friends from even where I live in Edmonton here in Canada that live in Hokkaido still. So there's lots of ties and reasons for me to go back, and which I just love because it's kind of like being in Canada in terms of the climate. It gets a little bit more warm, I would say, in the summertime, but generally, it feels like being in Canada, but just J the Japanese version of Canada. So it feels like home away from home for me. And the people are nice. The food's amazing. I just have nothing but great things to say. So when you told me after all of these years of me bugging you to go to Hokkaido, just was so excited and kind of also like puzzled at the same time that you finally decided to go, but for very important reasons. So I guess let's hear about why you went to Hokkaido, or specifically Sapporo, and what was your initial impressions when you got there?
Yeah, it's like connecting a little bit before I get into my stuff. It's like I was really impressed when you said when you said you were like 40 minutes outside of the city. I was really impressed by the transportation system in Sapporo. I felt like there were many trains and buses and different ways to kind of connect into the city. I don't know why I thought, maybe I'm just dumb, that Hokkaido was not as, how to say, sprawling and developed as it is. Maybe because I'm so used to the countryside in Japan. And I've never really lived in a huge city, but like, yeah, let's just say I had the wrong idea of what Sapporo was like, and I will fully admit and accept that I was wrong. But yeah, I was in Sapporo for an academic conference, by the way. I will be graduating from Hiroshima University in a few short months, and you
Yay.
know, I'm in advanced stages of my research, and you know, as a graduate student, I have to do different like academic conferences and workshops and presentations and all that stuff. Not that I mind. I really am enjoying it. So I had multiple choices for academic conferences that I could have gone on, but I chose the one in Hokkaido
You made the best
specifically.
choice. You made the best choice. What were your other choices even? What was Hokkaido competing against?
I think there was one in Nagoya. That the one that I remember off the top of my head. But immediately once I saw Hokkaido University, I was like, okay, I don't want to see any other ones. That's the one I'm choosing.
Ouch.
So it was the JASID conference, spring conference in Hokkaido at Hokkaido University. I presented about my research in like how do you say rural, what I say, Japan's declining population and how it is affecting the education system, etc. Not to get into academic, boring stuff. But yeah, so that was my chance. Never been to Hokkaido. I've traveled extensively throughout, what I say, Hondo, the main Japanese island, and Shikoku, and the Fukuoka. What's that southern island? What's the name of that southern island? Oh my God.
Kyushu?
Shikoku? Kyushu, yeah. So I've traveled a lot through the three of the four major Japanese islands. So like my first time in Hokkaido, I was like, yes, finally I'd get the chance. So yeah, I flew from Tokyo to Hokkaido using JAL.
Oh, I was gonna ask, was JAL or ANA?
Yeah, let's not get into it with our rivalry here.
Yeah,
He
for
likes ANA.
another day.
We should definitely do a future episode. But yeah, I took JAL to Sapporo, and I immediately had to rush to the conference at Hokkaido University. Hokkaido University campus, by the way, is beautiful and sprawling. I don't want to imagine how much more beautiful it would be in the fall, especially with all those trees. And my first impressions of the temperatures at in Hokkaido, Sapporo area is that I don't know, it felt cooler than Hiroshima and definitely Tokyo,
Less
and
humid, for
almost,
sure.
yeah, definitely less humid. And it kind of gave me like a Jamaica vibe, strange enough. I can't explain it. It's like in Jamaica, the temperatures get higher, but the wind is cooler. And you know what I mean? It's like a very cool, not so humid breeze. And that's how I felt in Hokkaido. The second thing was like the trees, the nature, the environment felt not as, what I say, fake. You know, like sometimes you'd go to a park, but you can tell that these trees were planted in a certain way, or this grass is cut. You know what I mean? Hokkaido felt a little bit more
Natural.
natural. Yeah, and the environment just felt so much like back home in Jamaica, strange enough. Maybe it's just me visiting at this particular time of the year. But that was one of my two of my initial things. Hokkaido University is beautiful, and the temperature in late June was when did I visit? The 3rd week of June was quite nice. So yeah.
I'm already hearing reasons of why you should go back there and be there more often.
Yes, we should totally plan a trip in the future. But speaking of planning the trip, before I went, of course, I told you I was going, and you gave me a bunch of recommendations when I was there. Tell us more about those recommendations, and I will tell you about the main recommendation that I took and I enjoyed.
Yeah, I think when people go and think about traveling to Hokkaido, I feel you either do it because you want to get out and explore the nature outside of the big cities, because Hokkaido is a big island. It's one prefecture and it's, you know, a giant island compared to some of the other islands that are amongst Japan. But people think of the nature and the ability to get outside of the city and just explore and be in the wondrous, you know, mountains or lakes or hiking trails or whatever that might be. So that's one side of, I think, people think of when they think of Hokkaido. But the other side is people love the food, and the food culture in Hokkaido is like big, whether it's you like seafood, like uni, Hokkaido uni is super popular, expensive, but very popular and famous throughout the
And
country and around the world.
Hokkaido milk is also quite famous.
Yes, potatoes, a lot of agricultural products come from Hokkaido that you'll see throughout Japan. You'll see that very popular Hokkaido prefectural symbol. And yeah, so one of the things that I really liked and that I was introduced to early on in my days in Hokkaido was the very popular soup curry dish that originated in Hokkaido. And so that was one of the items that I shared with Kirk before him. Before his leaving, I said, you got to go to the restaurant that I was first introduced to. It was called Suwage. It was in the Susukino area. It's very close to an iconic building that has a Ferris wheel on top of it. And I know a lot of cities have the Ferris wheels on top, but this one is really close to that building, which is called Norbessa. And I said, you just got to go eat Suwage soup curry. Let me know what you think. So yeah, tell me what your initial impression is of soup curry. Kind of explain it in your words to everyone listening what you think it is, or what you experienced, and what was your favorite dish or dishes that you had there.
So thank you so much for that recommendation, by the way. It was perfect. Soup curry, like I like Japanese curry. I like curry, Indian curry, Jamaican curry as a whole. So like it was kind of like an easy sell. And close to my university in Hiroshima, there's actually like a Hokkaido style soup curry restaurant that I've been to a couple times with my classmates. But I always wondered if it was like authentic. You know what I mean? It's like going to a Jamaican restaurant in Tokyo or wherever, and you're like, yeah, it's Jamaican, but is it really Jamaican? So I went to Suwage from your recommendation while walking around. after visiting the Sapporo Flower Festival and a bunch of other places I'll talk about later. And I had the pork based,
Oh,
or it
so
had
good.
like two huge chunks of pork in it with eggs and potatoes and different pumpkins, and like it was just amazing with kind of like a side of rice. I think I ordered like the medium level, like three spice on a scale of 0 to 5. And I got a nice seat, like overlooking the city from the second floor. It was just nice music, nice energy, very great customer service. That soup curry was amazing. Definitely the best soup curry I have had, overall. And I want to definitely have more. You told me that there might be a Suage in Tokyo. I'm gonna be
Yeah, there's a
searching for
few
that.
locations. So, yeah, if you're
Yeah.
can't get to Hokkaido, definitely go to Suage in Tokyo, look it up.
Yeah, so
Could
it
put
was
in the
really
show notes.
good. Yeah, definitely. It was really, 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 really good. So after, going to Hokkaido Shrine in the morning and, taking a bunch of trains and walking around, I got a new Gosshuin from Hokkaido Shrine. I'll talk more about that again later or in another show. But yeah, it was just the perfect lunch after walking around and doing so much physical activity. And yeah, I think during my 3 days in Hokkaido, I had soup curry 4 times. Yeah. While
Was
I
it
was
like
boarding the plane, if you cut my arm, I'd probably bleed soup curry.
was one of the soup curry meals like I'm not even hungry right now, but I'm by a soup curry place, so I'm just gonna eat it because I really like it, even though I'm not hungry. Like, was it like a not a time for a meal, but you just had it anyways, or how did the four meals shake out throughout your 3 days there?
Yeah, the last one I had was just before I boarded the plane, actually at the Sapporo airport.
Oh,
I
nice.
actually wasn't very hungry, but I was like, oh my God, the soup curry is so good. I don't know if I'm gonna have this good soup curry again for now. So oh look, there's a chair available. Don't mind if I do. So I wasn't hungry, but I was like, oh, more soup curry. And usually, except that time when I went to Suage, I have the chicken one. When in Suage, I had the pork one, but it was so good. It was like a smaller portion, and I didn't take the rice to go with it, but still so good. Still so I don't know. There's something about the soup. It's just not too heavy, not too light, combines well with the veggies and the meat and the egg. It's just, I don't know. I can't imagine how much more tasty it will be when it's like freezing cold outside and you're having this
Oh,
warm
yes.
soup in your stomach. Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, I like how it's prepared. Like everything that's in the soup dish, I guess for those that are trying to imagine what it looks like, you get like a bowl, and then all of the pieces of meat and veggies are like kind of whole. So when you have a potato, it's more like it might just be cut in half, but not in like pieces. Or if you get a piece of corn, it's just the whole piece of corn, or the kabocha is like an entire slice, or broccoli or okra or whatever it is. And then you kind of just like it's soft enough that you can kind of just cut it with your spoon, and then you kind of take a little bit of meat and then a little bit of veggie and some soup, and then you mix it with some rice, because your rice comes on like a separate dish. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's not so heavy. And as long as you get like the right spice level, I'd say if you're going for your first time, try to err on the side of caution and get something that's not too spicy, because if it is too spicy, then you might just kind of have to suffer through eating it and not enjoy it as much. So I would say if you're not too sure what your spice tolerance is, get something that's like on the lower end. And then, like
Yeah,
Kirk
go
did,
up
he
from
went,
there.
yeah, go up from there, because you're going to probably go 4 times in 3 days anyways.
Hey, I'm watching you.
So yeah, then up your spice level from there. But yeah, I don't think I've ever left eating soup curry feeling like, sometimes when you eat a really heavy ramen or something, it's very different than ramen because you're not eating noodles or anything, but you kind of feel heavy, or you're like, oh, I need to go have a nap, or just whatever that might be. You just don't want to do anything. But soup curry, you can eat it As long as it's not too spicy where you're sweating and you're dying because of the intensity, you just like the flavors that are in the soup mixed with like how the meat is prepared, plus how the vegetables are prepared. It just blends so nicely that it's a very unique dish. And so I'm glad that you A, not only tried it once, but tried it four times while you were there. It just proves how well the soup curry
Yeah,
was in your
it's
favor.
perfect. It's not too heavy. You don't feel like you're stuffed afterwards. It's easy on your digestive system. You know what I mean? It's just so good, man. So good. Like, yeah, I would definitely. I'm thinking about going to the Hokkaido style soup curry place in Hiroshima now. I'm just talking about it. But the funny thing is, the one here is always sold out. It's always booked, fully booked,
Oh, you have
or
to
busy.
reserve? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you have to reserve. So usually I'd go with my classmates, as I said. So it's like three, four, five of us. A couple of times we tried to go, and it was just always because it's a smaller place with maybe one, two, three, four, five tables and a couple solo counter spots. But yeah, the soup curry is so good. But another thing I wanted to touch on, if I may change the topic a little bit.
Yes.
Was yeah, I went to like a special lecture at Hokkaido Museum as part of my academic stuff that I did in Sapporo, and I had this really informative and interesting lecture about the history of Hokkaido, especially what stood out to me was the information about the original people, the Ainu people
Yes.
that lived in Hokkaido. I found that so fascinating. And I was so surprised that a lot of the recognition that they are receiving now is so recent. You know what I mean?
Yes,
Like,
yeah.
it's unfortunate, but you know, like these people are, what I say, amazing in, you know, their culture, their language, their ways of doing things. And, you know, I've evolved into an academic over the last couple of years doing this grad school stuff. But, you know, I want to highlight the Ainu people and, you know, their struggle and how they were treated. I want to recommend visiting the Hokkaido Museum. They have an excellent exhibition about the history, but they focus a lot on, you know, Ainu culture and language and tools, and it's just, and I think Hokkaido Museum is probably now in the top three museums that I've visited in my life, and it wasn't like super sad and depressing like when I went to the atomic bomb museum in Hiroshima, but you know, it's very, very cool. One of the coolest museums ever. I actually want to go back. There was kind of like a time crunch when we were there because we were kind of on a tour with the lecture and bus and everything. So
Okay.
I could see myself definitely spending 4, 5, 6 hours there next time. And you could bring Kai.
Oh yeah,
Or
Kai
I
would
could
love
bring him
that.
and we could hang out. Have you been to the Hokkaido Museum? What were your thoughts on it and stuff?
I'm not gonna lie, I've never been there.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, you heard
think
it here on the Bonbon Show, episode 10.
it's
Aaron's
one of those.
Hokkaido card has been removed.
Yeah,
He has
it's
not been to
been
one of the
revoked.
major attractions in Hokkaido.
I think it's one of those things when I was living there, you're just when you I think like maybe like all of us when we live somewhere, we're like, yeah, we'll get there eventually, but it was not like anything that with the group of people that I was with, because everyone I was made friends with were like locals, so it wasn't anything that they were like, oh, we need to go to the Hokkaido Museum, because they've probably been a ton as they were growing up and going to school and all of that stuff. So it was anything that hadn't come up for me to like, I guess I could have gone by myself, but it was just like, yeah, I'm here for a while, I'll get there eventually, but just never did. So I would love to go with you and you can show me the ropes. I will say
Yeah,
though that
as
there
the
is a
yeah.
there's an Ainu specific museum that's outside of
Yes.
Sapporo
I learned
that
about that one as well.
I've been to that one a number of years ago, because I you pretty much need to drive to that one as far as I know, and that was really cool. They had some outdoor exhibits that kind of replicated what, you know, an Ainu settlement would have been like, and you can kind of go in there and explore. And then within the museum itself was very, very cool and educational and informative of just all of that culture around there. So I think if you really, really enjoyed the Ainu culture exhibition, or exhibit at the Hokkaido Museum in Sapporo, then I think you'll just fall in love with the Ainu specific museum. So that's something that we could definitely go and do, or I would encourage others to go and do. If you're in Sapporo and you love that exhibit, then definitely seek out the Ainu. I don't know what the official, I can't remember what the official name, if it's like a cultural center or if it's an actual museum. But yeah, go and check that one out. So I would definitely had an amazing time there.
Yeah, getting around in Sapporo is really easy because it's a city with, as I said, multiple modes of transport. But I learned very quickly in my short time there that if I wanted to see more of Hokkaido as a whole, which has so many attractions, I got like a map from the tourist center of different things, and it's so spread out, and you really don't know how large Hokkaido is until you look at this map and you see that, you know, you have to drive 4 or 5 hours to get to somewhere. You know what I mean? And you're still in Hokkaido. I feel like Kyoto, Tokyo, Nara, these usual attractions within Japan, you're so used to having train systems or bus systems that connect these places. But in Hokkaido, it's a very different type of tourist experience, where, you know, it could take you know, half a day to just go to like the Ainu village area type stuff. So yeah, definitely as the more experienced Sapporo person in this friendship now, I'll have to take you to the Hokkaido Museum to
Yes,
expose
please
you to
do.
it. And yeah, let's rent a car and drive to the Ainu Cultural Center or something like that, if I remember my map that I looked at, and we can experience that together as well.
Yeah, the countryside in Hokkaido is amazing, beautiful. There's so many just peaceful spots and places if you're trying to get away from people and just enjoy the nature. Like you can do that so easily in Hokkaido. And as you mentioned, yeah, getting around, you can rely on the train and buses to get to a lot of spots, but I think even when you get to those locations, you're still kind of stuck to that like core little area, whereas a car will just allow you to kind of freely explore the back country and get to, you know, the exact location that you want to with ease. So it's definitely something to think or just keep in mind if you're planning to go to Hokkaido, depending on what you're trying to get out of your experience. For the listeners listening, is yeah, you might need to think about renting a car or just to get to those spots that you want to.
And of course, we have just basically touched the surface of what Sapporo and Hokkaido has to offer. There's so much more that we have yet to experience that we're looking forward to. We're open to hearing your comments, whether on YouTube or elsewhere, about your likes and experiences in Hokkaido, if you're listening. I'm really looking forward to going back. I know there's like the snow festival and flower festivals and all kinds of different activities, markets, shows. I think there I saw like a boat race. There was like so much culture and activities and stuff happening in Hokkaido all year long. I could kick myself for just kind of now feeling like, oh my God, I have been missing out on all this,
I've
but
been telling you. I've been telling you.
Yes, I've learned my lesson, but yeah, I'm very excited about visiting Hokkaido again. I don't know if I'd be able to go next summer. I'd love to do that. But we'll see how things turn out. Was there anything else you wanted to share or talk about before we wrap up this episode?
Think the one question I had, and this kind of goes back to an older podcast episode we had actually, where we rated our very favorite konbini, and my favorite konbini was the Hokkaido Seiko Mart. I just had a burning question. I just don't know. Did you get to go to a Seiko Mart? And if you did, What did you buy?
Oh my God, no, I'm gonna have to admit. I did see quite a few Seiko Marts. Seiko Mart is definitely a Hokkaido thing, but I don't know, man. I
What?
saw Family Marts and I was just like,
No.
oh, sorry, Seiko Mart. There's a
How
Family
could
Mart across the
you?
street. Yeah, I think I went to only Family Marts, and maybe a couple 7-Elevens for breakfast and
Oh
stuff
my
when I was
goodness.
there.
Oh my goodness.
So let's just say we can go to Seiko Mart together for the first time together, okay? So
Okay.
I'll
You
take you
left
to
it. You left. I'll
Hokkaido
just per
Museum.
You left it for me. You left Seiko Mart experience for
Yeah.
me for when we go.
That's
Okay.
what that was my intention. I totally planned it that
Right.
way. I said
Okay.
I could never go to Seiko Mart without Aaron. Come on.
Thank you.
But yeah,
Thank you so
no
much.
problem. But yeah,
No,
thank you
that's
guys. Yeah,
thank
thank
you.
you guys for listening to episode 10 of the Bon Bon Show, talking about Sapporo and Hokkaido, my experience there on an academic conference, Aaron living and volunteering there and being there on JET, recommending quite a few places for me to see. There's so much more for us to do and experience, and yeah, we're so excited to visit again, and we encourage you, the listeners, to check it out as well.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. I can't wait to share more information and more podcast episodes coming down the line. Stay tuned and matane.
Bye bye.
Bye.